Namaste, it's Sahara Rose, and welcome back to the Highest Self Podcast, a place where we discuss what makes you your soul's highest evolvement. We are finishing up the year. I can really feel the energy of everyone is just longing to go inward. This has been a big year, a big decade. We've all been doing a lot, and the end of the year is really just a time to take care of your vessel and to honor this body of yours that has done so much for you this year, has kept you alive, kept you creating, kept you striving, kept you going through even the more challenging times. And I feel like the end of the year can really be almost like rewired in our brains as a time to really go in on self-care. I mean, most of us grew up and like the holidays could be a stressful time. You're, you know, visiting different family members and maybe there's not good boundaries, which I should definitely do an episode on. But I really feel like when we look at what it is, I mean, it's really the dark time of the year. It is when the days are much shorter and our bodies have a higher need to rest. It's kapha period. We need to go into hibernation. So this is the perfect time to really fill up our cups and honor the seasons of our bodies and honor us going through our personal winter time by nourishing ourselves. And a really beautiful way of doing it is with herbs. So herbs are literally the earth's gift of plants that can heal us. They're original plant medicine. And I have been very into herbs for, you know, a decade. Ayurveda has many different types of herbs, but I've also been interested in learning about different types. And I came across this amazing brand called Anima Mundi. And when I got the box, it was like a witchy Amazonian apothecary. And I was like, what is this magic? And what I really liked about it were their boxes were about not just like physical problems, but like higher self issues, like how to lucid dream and enhance your intuition and open up your pineal gland and increase dopamine in your mind. Like it was herbs for a spiritual purpose. So I clearly needed to know more about it. And I started DMing with Anima Mundi and the founder, Adriana, who's about to be our guest on this episode, has given me so much wisdom. So I'm really excited that she's here on the podcast. She grew up in Costa Rica. She is now moving to New York, and she's someone who is an herbalist, a medicine maker, an educator, as well as the founder of Anima Mundi. And what they really do is they take rainforest tribal style herbs and make it really accessible for us. They also now work with Ayurvedic, Chinese herbs, and European style alchemies as well. But she is a highly spiritual person. So she, as she will share this in the episode, has been practicing lucid dreaming techniques and knows so much about expanding consciousness and truly is like, you know, a shaman in her own way. And what I love about this episode is she shows us how so many of these herbs that are just, you know, non-psychedelic herbs can really have intuitive enhancing effects. I think when most of us think of plant medicine, like myself even, we think of like ayahuasca or mushrooms or something like that. And it kind of shows that, yes, these plants are very powerful, but there are also a wide range of plants that don't have psychoactive effects in the same way, such as blue lotus, which we're going to talk about, which is a beautiful one. I brought it to Burning Man and that was like my party drug. Macuna, which we're going to dive deep into, and so many other ones. So you don't need to drink. You don't need to do recreational drugs. You don't need to put anything in your body that is not in your highest alignment or anything that might even take you out of your consciousness. I do believe there's a time and place for, you know, those types of plant medicines when taken in a ritualistic setting with the right container, not too often, but we can still enhance our intuition with the help of these herbs on a daily basis in a way that is going to mix into our lifestyle so we can continue creating and being part of society while still having the help of these plants. So in this episode, we're going to dive into all things herbology, healing, spirituality, lucid dreaming, and I highly recommend checking out her lucid dreaming kit, which is really helpful to enhance your lucid dreaming practices with the suggestions that she gives us and just to open your mind to the way that these plants can really support us and how they really have our backs. And I think now more than ever, we're turning to nature to help with our mental health. And this is just such a good example of how much these plants can support us with it. So without further ado, let's welcome Adriana to the Highest Self podcast. And before we get started, check out these brands that make Highest Self podcast possible. This episode is brought to you by Ayurveda. Ayurveda is a modernized Ayurvedic supplement company that takes certain issues that we have, such as mood, joints, immunity, digestion, and creates these custom little packets exactly for us, infusing ancient Ayurvedic herbs with modern vitamins and minerals. I take the mood formula daily. It is great if you work a stressful job, had adrenal fatigue, ever suffer from anxiety or even depression. And it really heals you from a fundamental and holistic level. So if you want to try it out, head over to Ayurveda, Ayurveda.com. Use the code Sahara and you'll receive 35% off your first order. And they now ship to almost every country globally. So check it out. If you live internationally, they may be shipping to your country too. And they just added India, guys. Welcome, Adriana, to the Highest Self podcast. It's so good to have you here.
So good to be here.
So the first question I would love to ask you is, what makes you your highest self?
Oh, I love that question. I think my favorite is to engage with plant medicine and working with plant medicine energies for a deeper connection to nature and myself.
And you do that so beautifully and help us connect with the plants as well in a way that is earthy and real. I remember when I got your box for the first time, I was like, what is this? Just like potion, witch, magic. And, you know, I feel like these days everyone is using a lot of different herbs, et cetera, but we're not using it in those wild ways. We're still not really creating like the tonics, and we're not definitely going into it in terms of like the spiritual component, like the lucid dreaming and the euphoria. And I love how what you've created does that in such a beautiful and attainable way. So I would love to know, what was your journey and how did the plants really begin speaking with you?
So it all started when I was a kid. My grandmother would come to our house like every Sunday. I was around 7, 8 years old, and we would sit in meditation, and to me, it felt very natural. I didn't think it's like a little weird moment or anything. We would have like our little coffee and a cookie or so or whatever, and we would just start talking about spirits, and she died recently, very well connected to energies and energetics and spirits in general. And so we would do these meditations where we would invoke our ancestors, and like, if we were in a home that felt a little out of balance, we would invoke the energy that was, let's say, traumatizing still that space or the darkness of that energy to clear it. And as a kid, I would see so much, you know, like naturally. And I know all children have this. My kids have it. And I would start seeing like my dead grandfather in our living room. And so, and I would be like, what do I do with this? You know, mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do. And it's obviously scary too for a child. So she helped me see what to do with that energy, and I started cultivating in my own way, like the psychic energy of it. So I started doing my own meditations at night, which I felt safer, like going to sleep and being like trying to talk to my grandfather and other energies that presented itself. And I slowly started seeing that my gift was lying more in the plant spirit world. Mm. So over the years, I started connecting more by using tools like ayahuasca and even other plants, just that are not like necessarily psychotropic, in other words. And I started seeing that they were speaking to me in their own way, like if they were personalities, like as if I was meeting somebody right at the grocery store or something, you know, like it felt very real and very clear. And there was no mistake about the energy that I was receiving. And so I just started cultivating that over just like invoking spirits, more like my grandmother. Mm-hmm. So that opened up a whole world, and I started learning with shamans, and I went to herbal schools, and kind of unfolded after that.
That's so beautiful. And I think a lot of people listening, the plants are speaking with them as well, and they don't recognize it.
Exactly.
So what how do we know the plants are speaking? Like, is it like, hello, my name is Makuna? Like, what is it like?
Actually, it can really be that way. That's what's amazing. I think everybody will receive it very differently. And I think that's something that everybody will essentially know in their own way. Some people feel it more, some people see it more, and some people hear it. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's like many forms of clairvoyance, clairaudience, as they say, right? So for me, it was more visionary. I would like be next to a plant, let's say if I was wildcrafting in the jungle, and I saw a plant, and it just, I could see the colors from it, like as if it was like the plant's aura or the plant's energy. And I would sit there and just started receiving like a conversation in my head. And I was like, I know this is not my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when I feel like...
But it's
like,
in your own voice.
Yes, mm-hmm. but in my mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes it comes out as like, let's say more masculine voice, but mm-hmm. it still feels like it was me.
Right.
So at first I was confused. I was like, is this me just creating all this dialogue? Like, this is kind of crazy. But then I realized...
Like,
I,
what is the dialogue? They're telling you what their uses are?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So for example, let's say you meet me and you can tell that I'm having, I don't know, that I'm having a stressful day, but I'm telling you about my life. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that. You start receiving information in a conversational manner, or I do. I know everybody has their mm-hmm. own way. And so I started receiving like casual information about the plant's energetics. Mm-hmm. It didn't even have to be like so profound necessarily. It was more like the plant was unhappy where it was, or it was living in a toxic environment, or it was radiant and perfect, or even every species of that plant, depending on where they were suffering either the energetics of that land or what they actually may medicinally contain on an energetic level. Mm. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I feel like for a lot of us, like, I feel like plants speak to me, maybe not on the level as you, but I get a feeling like, oh, for example, this tree is not happy here, or one tree is like really dancing and like full of life. Another one is like very, you know, they do have personalities. And I think where a lot of people get stuck is it's in your own voice. So you think, oh, this is just my own assumption or my own mind. Yep. But if it's coming from, you know, you kind of have to trust that your mind is still coming from something.
Exactly.
So if you're picking up on something that maybe you didn't know before, maybe it's a message that you're receiving.
Exactly. And I think something that's also very interesting is like in dreams, I would receive information of where a plant was located, let's say in my regular wildcrafting areas in Costa Rica, for example. And I would receive information of who might need it right now. So mm-hmm. for example, my mom just got diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder, which is very common nowadays. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people have it obviously for the toxicology of the environment and whatever. And I was harvesting ashwagandha in my dream. Mm. And I was like finding it and enjoying it. And I was like on a mission to give it to her in the dream. And like all this story, like very detailed story. And I knew that the plant was speaking to me. And then I met the actual spirit of ashwagandha in my dream. And I didn't invoke it or anything. I was mm-hmm. just like, I went to sleep, normal, regular day, you know. And then I realized I had to give my mom this plant, even though it's contradictory to the disease that she actually got diagnosed with. Mm. And I was like, should I do this? You know, like this is, it was such a clear message. And I gave it to her in a microdosed form. Mm-hmm. And I did the flower essence of ashwagandha as well, that was part of the information received. And I gave it to her anyways. And it is truly healing a lot of her situation in this moment.
Wow.
And it was contradictory to, let's say, scientific studies of that plant. Not to say that whoever's listening to this, like, self-medicate, but, like, that was just one of the ways you receive information about plants.
Yeah, very interesting. And a funny story about ashwagandha, she really is a powerful plant. Because when I had the idea for the cover of my book, Eat, Feel Fresh, I just envisioned myself in front of this blue house with a basket of fruit. Like, this was just my image. And long story short, we ended up finding this house that was the perfect home. I took the picture, later find out the plant that's above me on the cover of my book, which you can see right here, is ashwagandha.
Wow.
She just showed up on the cover of the book.
That's
and I had
amazing.
No idea. And it's she was just like, I need to be part of the book. And
I love that.
Here I am.
I love that. And she really did.
She made it happen.
That's amazing. Wow. Yes. I love it. Such a powerful plant. Like truly, I know it's like so trendy now, but it's truly a powerful plant. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to get it in the right way and give it to yourself in the right way. Mm. To really enjoy that true energetic power it has, you know. Mm.
So I want to talk about the plants who are particularly the rainforest herbs. I feel like there's a lot less information about those. Some of them we talk about maca has gotten very trendy. So what is like the overall like ethos, school of thought of the herbology that you practice in the rainforest tradition?
Yeah. Well, that's a very, very huge subject. But I think, I mean, summarized, it could be that I would say the extraction methods of, like, let's say rainforest tribal peoples are very unusual and in their own way. They're very like, or like, I guess like the classic witch, quote unquote, is more like, or sorcerer in other words, is to like boil it down and create a ritualized extraction over it. No matter what plant medicine you're combining or creating. And a lot of it is like the harmonics of energetics of plant pairing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is either the pairings that you're doing, like not sophisticated pairings, like let's say a formula of two or three plants, mm-hmm. max, or a true decoction of a plant over days, like literally witch's cauldron style. Mm-hmm. And then the other one would be like dieting, which is you diet with the plant, like in a single manner, like let's say just an infusion for over 2-3 weeks or more. Mm-hmm. And to receive the whole download of that dialogue you get with that plant as mm-hmm. you're like, you know, in your healing journey.
With like ayahuasca.
No, just like, no, any plant.
Any do that. Okay.
Yeah, like Bovinsana is a very amazing one that a lot of people know about. Mm. And Bovinsana is an incredible lucid dreaming plant, which mm-hmm. happens to be also great for arthritic people with, or even mm-hmm. rheumatoid arthritis type of conditions. But what's interesting is that it's like a pain relieving plant that enhances lucidity and third eye function. So if you diet with that plant, let's say for 3 weeks on a regular basis, you drink it as like a water or like a tea mm-hmm. every single day for as much as you can, you start receiving that same information, like mm-hmm. what we were talking about. So I guess it's more a ritualized concept. Rainforest medicine is very like ritualized mm. overall.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And when you're doing that type of diet that you're working with it, is that like, are you on a journey, some like vision quest, that type of thing, or is that something anyone could do?
I think anyone can do it, mm-hmm. but with that mindfulness, right? Mm-hmm. Like not just like, oh, I'm just going to drink this as my little casual drink,
right.
You know, like more of a mindful connection mm-hmm. to receive that dialogue, to mm-hmm. know that you're like really connecting with that plant for a higher purpose. Mm.
It's yeah. interesting because I know I think it's called the Wild Woman tradition. It's a different like school of herbology. I think it's more focused on North American herbs, but they really work with one herb at a time. But I know a lot of, you know, in indigenous cultures, they're working with several at a time. So.
Exactly. And it depends on where you're at in your life, what's going on in your healing journey, and what, let's say, the shaman, herbalist, or doctor is prescribing you based on what you need. Mm. I think it's very much about that too.
Love that. Yeah. So you have different kits in Anima Mundi, your brand, that are so beautiful. You have like lucid dreaming and euphoria and all of these like really fascinating, like spiritual type thing. So I really want to talk about lucid dreaming because I know that that was a huge part of your journey. How did that start showing up for you, and how can people use plants to help them with lucid dreaming?
Yeah. So it showed up for me like spontaneously. I was a lot younger. I think I was around 10 or 12, and I started just waking up in my dream, kind of like the classic, I just started flying in the dream, and I would be like, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, like I would get all freaked out and amazed. And I would wake up constantly after that realization came, which happens to a lot of people. It's like the classic lucid dreaming, you know, structure. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I want to go deeper. And so I started reading these books like Carlos Castañeda's classic book on lucid dreaming and all the older ones that have been around for quite a while. And it started showing me these techniques on what to do, which I think work for a lot of people. So you kind of like, for example, there's one technique that you look down in the dream, which we don't really tend to look down at all. Like, let's say your feet or the ground, and you look at your hands. And then you intentionally stay looking at your hands without getting excited mm-hmm. to wake up in your dream to start activating yourself in whatever way you want. Mm-hmm. Let's say you want to fly, or you want to become a tiger, or I don't know, go underwater and just go deeper and deeper and breathing underwater or something mm-hmm. like that. And so I just started practicing all those things, and I started getting somewhere, and it was very powerful. Like I started doing self-hypnosis mm-hmm. in my waking life mm-hmm. that also helped me fuel like the lucid dreaming tank, so I didn't run out of energy while I was dreaming.
Wow. So you look at your hands. In that moment, you know, I'm lucid dreaming. Now I can go fly, do whatever I want because I'm in a dream.
Exactly.
And you don't wake up.
You have to try not to wake up.
Okay. How do you try not to?
Not getting excited.
Oh, okay.
So excitement is the killer, literally. So if you're like, kind of like, I've done this a million times, whatever, and you jump in and you just stay there, that's one of the ways to stay.
Fascinating. Because I remember hearing when I was a kid that if you realize that you have a shadow, like in your dreams, you don't have shadows. So if you feel like you might be dreaming, check if you have a shadow. If you don't have a shadow, then you know you're dreaming. But I would try to wake myself up because I would have nightmares, and I would like be like, am I dreaming or not? And then when I realized I was dreaming, I would try to wake myself up, and it was this kind of like uncomfortable, like I need to get back to my body. And sometimes I'd like see my bed and my body. I'm like, how do I get back there?
Yeah. Like paralysis in a way. Yeah. That is very common.
Not sleep paralysis. Cause from what I understand of paralysis, they see like this dark energy being on top of them and they feel like they can't move and they're like stuck.
Exactly.
Whereas for me, I'm like somewhere else being chased by pirates and I'm like, I need to get back into my body and my bed. And
like you can't escape the dream.
Yeah, kind exactly.
of
thing.
Yeah. Well, in a way that's kind of like a form of paralysis that you cannot leave and you're stuck.
Right.
Right. But yeah, I agree. The regular sleep paralysis, the dark energy and shadows actually rising up. Yeah. That is pretty scary actually. That's intense. But I think another great technique to know is like shaking your body. So when you wake up in the dream and you saw your hands, or you can even use a tool that you love. Let's say you love roses. You can project a rose in your dream and hold onto that rose and don't let it go. So that's like your grounding cord. So you can do any symbol you love. It can be even a, I don't know, a symbol of like a circle with a dot in the center, or a triangle, or a frog, or an animal, whatever. And that really helps. So if you have your grounding cord, you won't easily wake up. Then the third is they call it like the body rub down. So if you start like, let's say, shaking yourself or rubbing yourself intensely, or just like as if you're doing like almost like booty dancing, if you start trying to do that, that helps activate the dream body to stay there. It's very interesting. So it like generates energy in the dream.
So interesting.
Yeah, that one's real. That's a really great tip. I've really enjoyed that one because it keeps me in there. It's like gasoline, you know, or whatever.
So you realize you're dreaming and you're like, okay, I know I'm dreaming. I want to stay in this. Let me twerk. I'm going to stay here.
Seriously, twerk it. Yeah. Like, no joke.
Okay. I should be in my dreams all the time then.
And you won't wake up because you're like, I've done this. I know how to do this. Yeah. And you're activating your dream body. And then another amazing step is, and this is a little more advanced, but some people have gone there like immediately and they don't understand how, is going to sleep in your dream. Yeah, that is a very interesting one. And it requires a lot of energy. But let's say you have a lot of energy naturally, which a lot of naturally psychic people have it. So you put yourself to sleep in the dream after, let's say you did, like you became a tiger or you swam or whatever, you flew. And then you try to put yourself to sleep. So you manifest a bed and you go to the second level of dreaming, which is when you wake up in the dream of your dream. So you're aware that you're sleeping. So it's almost like this, like you're doubling yourself.
So what happens when you fall asleep in your dream? You have another dream.
Yeah.
Then what is that? Is that dream like weirder? Like,
yeah, it's more advanced. It's almost like Avatar world to the next level.
Wow.
Yeah. So like you see, let's say more energetics, more auras, more energy exchanges. It's maybe interdimensional beings or... you might call them, I don't know, like gods, goddesses or whatever, start appearing. And that's when you supposedly can have more conversations with spirit energies.
Wow. I mean, this makes sense because in Ayurveda, each dosha has a different type of dream. So Vata dreams are very imaginative, like fleeing, flying, being chased, and like just very abstract. Whereas Pitta dreams are very realistic. So like a conversation with someone in your life, or like, you know, a situation that you've been worried about. And then Kapha dreams, well, Kaphas tend to often not dream because they're very in their body. Or if they do have a dream, it's just like having sex, eating chocolate. It's very like indulging the body. So it makes sense that these like dreams within a dreams, more advanced dreams, they're more Vata. They're way more out there. Whereas like someone who's just very in reality, very in the 3D, more in just the Pitta is like worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. They're not thinking about like extraterrestrial beings.
Yeah. Wow. That's very interesting. Do you think that happens even seasonally? Like let's say during a stressful time in our life, we would probably manifest more Kapha dreams type of idea.
I think a lot of times in stressful times of our lives, we're so worried about what's going to happen. So our dreams can't even imagine something that interesting. We're just like either like, I mean, I think if we're super stressed, we're just super exhausted. You don't even have space for a dream.
Yeah.
But I think most people, their dreams are just like, you know, maybe a little bit bizarre, but not like Alice in Wonderland status. Yeah. Whereas when you're a kid, they all are like that.
Mm-hmm. And something that's, you remind me, in the second level of dreaming, what's interesting is that you can really see your life with a lot of clarity. Like, let's say you will realize when you're in the second level of dreaming, you know you're sleeping. And that you're knowing you're in a second level of dreaming, then you can even say, all right, I want to see the blueprint of my life. And you can really invoke, let's say, what they call the Akashic Records. where you can really see or say, okay, what's going to happen to me if I make this decision, or how do I make this decision?
Wow.
Or if you can, like, just basically you bring up what you want to see, mm-hmm. and you will see it. It's
so
really
do you have lucid dreams every night now?
No, but I try to not have it all the time because it can be a little exhausting too. Like sometimes I have too much dreaming and I wake up and I'm like, okay, you know, and you need to go to work and be like very 3D, right. like we were saying. Yeah. It's a little tough.
So how have the herbs helped you get to these lucid dreaming states?
Herbs, I think pineal gland tonics are amazing, how they help us secrete more melatonin. Mm-hmm. So I think by just secreting more melatonin regularly, you naturally will have a more balanced type of dreamland and also not have it be exhausting. Mm-hmm. You know, like let's say if you're exhausted and you're getting invited to lucid dream by your own unconscious, that's when people might feel depleted, which has happened to me a lot, honestly. Mm-hmm. And some plants that are just like naturally sedative also are very helpful because it calms your entire muscular, you know, skeletal self and your nervous system is decompressed. Mm-hmm. That's a really great way to also tone and like dive deeper. Mm-hmm. And I think, I would say mostly melatonin. That's why mucuna, for example, is fascinating because even though it's not technically officially an adaptogen, it it helps our body adapt to the stressors and at the same time produce enough melatonin to calm you down or bring you that state of euphoria. But still chilling you out. Mm. It's not just going to be a knockout that you're going to go like work out or something, you know?
Yeah.
So I think those bipolarizing effects of those master herbs, that's what we need in order to chill and enter deeper into the unconscious.
Mm. So what is in the lucid dreaming kit? What herbs are there?
So we have passion flower and two formulas. We have passion flower, blue lotus, ashwagandha, skullcap, rose petals, and a very famous dream herb called Kalia Sakatechichi, which is a herb.
It's very potent. I tried to drink a tea of it.
Oh my God. It's so damn bitter. Holy moly. Yeah. So that's more of an energetic herb. Like you just sprinkle it like pepper kind of idea. Or a little more than pepper.
But I was like making all the talks. I'm like, these are all so delicious. Let me make this one with like no name on it. And I was like, this is disgusting.
Disgusting.
I was like asking you, I'm like, is someone supposed to smoke this? And you said a lot of people do smoke it.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people smoke it. Like with Blue Lotus, it's like more of the, I guess, newer world smokes those two together.
Right.
It's not like a traditional smoke blend that I know of. Mm-hmm. But yes, smoked is very powerful. And it can also be just, again, an energetic compound to, let's say, the mucuna passion flower base. You can add a little bit of Kalia to not make it too strong, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's so powerful. So the Kalia, they say that it helps you basically create the intuitive understanding of the symbols that are being presented. So, for example, Kalia helps you rationalize the archetypal mind a little more. I mean, rationalize intuitively, like not super logical. Mm-hmm. So it basically helps you see like, all right, if the archetypal message of the dream is in particular, let's say, in association to, I don't know, ancestral healing or your lineage, then it'll help you understand that a little more on an intuitive level. So it has that like reputable function about it, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, I love archetypes, so I should definitely try that because I'm noticing archetypes in everything in so many layers and everything comes down to them. So
Yeah. Like let's say Lakshmi. Lakshmi can manifest itself in different ways for another subconscious mind that's not used to the word Lakshmi or the goddess or
exactly.
You know, but they're seeing like the same story, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what all the goddesses are. You know, you see the same archetypes in every different culture, but with different, you know, names, cultural nuances, etc., but the same energetics that are just in all of us.
Yeah. So Kalia Sakatechichi helps you make the connection.
Mm, fascinating.
Which I think is very fascinating, yeah.
So I've been loving mucuna so much because it's like a natural sweetener. Like it tastes very sweet and delicious. And then I realized that people do use it as a sweetener. Mm-hmm. So does it have any like glycemic index in it?
No, it's very low, like very low sugars. It is a legume. So naturally it'll have those polysaccharides that naturally make an herb sweet. Like mucuna, astragalus are both like, I mean, maca have high polysaccharides. So they're naturally sweeter.
Okay.
But no, it doesn't have like a high glycemic index. Like if you're diabetic, you can take it.
Okay, amazing. Yeah. So paleo, keto people can have it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, mucuna is incredible. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible plant. Actually, it's like one of the main staple foods of jungle animals. So like if you're in, like if you see mucuna pruriens like in Costa Rica, like toucans will probably devour it before you get to it.
So oh, wow.
You kind of have to fight the monkeys and the toucans before you can harvest it.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been loving that with the blue lotus. And I really want to talk about blue lotus because the first time I saw it was in your kit. And I was like, what is this beautiful, like blue dried petals, and it tasted so sweet and fragrant. But the first couple times I had it, I got very tired. And what I realized was that I was just tired, and it's what my body needed. But then other times I don't. And so can you explain how this really works in different ways?
Yeah. So Blue Lotus actually is not technically an adaptogen, but it has like identical adaptogenic chemistry in the sense that it gives your body relaxation, like physical body relaxation. It's even used as a painkiller, as how much relaxation it can be. And it, depending on the person, it'll give you what you need, which is an adaptogen trademark, you know, like it's like classic signature. So, but the bipolarizing effect is, you know, something that nobody has been able to decipher. Interestingly enough, it has two alkaloids that have been isolated even by pharmaceutical companies. And one of the alkaloids basically makes you euphoric and the other one makes you completely chill out. Those are the both active components of the main active components of the plant. So another interesting component is that Egyptians knew this, and they have written about this extensively. They knew the chemistry had that dual effect on the body and mind. So as we were talking the other day, like they even use it in their ceremonial type of party action. I mean, beyond party.
AKA orgies.
Exactly, where they were all like semi, you know, nude and enjoying this magical fermented beverage of Blue Lotus, where they would have what they think is wine and extract it in some sort of alcohol base for an extra potent dose of those alkaloids, which I think is fascinating. So a lot of people were, you know, in that kind of state of euphoric, relaxed deliciousness.
Yeah, so it's kind of good if you're having like a party or a moon circle or something that you're trying to get everyone like talking, but in their hearts.
Exactly. Exactly. And we call it the flower of intuition because it is a pineal gland, you know, opener. So it helps you metabolize and secrete melatonin. So that's awesome.
And for those people out there who don't know what a pineal gland is, like what does that mean? Can you explain to us briefly?
So the pineal gland is basically located in the center of the brain, connecting to the hypothalamus, which is our main control center, like the center of our hormonal and, you know, a lot of biochemical processes happen there. And it's the size of a pea, basically, and it controls most of our reality. And it's fascinating. So it is the third eye because if you go to your forehead and you poke, let's say, a stick into it or a, like a needle, you go into the center of the brain and you would poke the pineal gland straight from what the third eye would be. So it's almost like the reflective inside eye that a lot of carvings and ancient texts have, you know, anatomically done it with precision. And so, yeah, it rules a lot of biochemical processes like our sleep and wake cycle, our mood, our happiness, our sexuality, and beyond. A lot of people say even our perception of a daily, you know, waking reality.
It's so, like, so consciousness. And most of our pineal glands are calcified, you know, because of the fluoride in our water, our people force us to have as kids. I remember it was always like twice a year, like drink this fluoride thing and like keep it in your mouth. And I was like a kid and I couldn't, and I would swallow it all the time. And you're just, I'm just literally ingesting pure fluoride. Plus, you know, all the junk food toxins.
Totally. Everything. Agricultural toxic and heavy metals is a big one. Yeah.
Are you looking for a really good white elephant gift this year? Well, have you ever considered compression socks? I love compression socks as someone who travels a lot, stands up, just always on the go, because what they do is they help energize the legs, reduce pain and swelling, and also help with muscle recovery. I'm loving Comrade socks because they have an antimicrobial technology that prevents odor-causing bacteria and also are specifically created to move circulation from your feet towards your heart. So they are offering Highest Self podcast listeners 20% off. So you can head over to comradesocks.com/Sahara and use discount code Sahara for 20% off. Again, that is comradesocks.com/Sahara and use discount code Sahara for your discount.
So how do these, you know, third eye enhancers, Blue Lotus, et cetera, do they help decalcify the pineal gland?
Yes, they do. So any pineal gland plant will naturally help you decalcify. Other one that's very interesting that has a lot of studies behind it is Moringa. So Moringa is also, even though it's a master mineralizer, it's used to decalcify. And actually cultures in Central America use it as a water filter. So they would put, let's say, these handmade ceramic vessels, and they put the seeds and the leaf, and they would basically strain their own water through it.
Wow.
And it was known as a water filter.
I should add that to my water.
Yeah, and the seeds, they're incredible.
That is fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing how Mother Nature just provides for us so much.
So much.
So we have all of your lucid dreaming stuff, intuition. What are other things that you provide kits for?
We have our inner beauty kit, which is a plant-based collagen type of stuff, which we love. So it's medicines that have been known as like bone herbs, in other words. So these herbs basically increase that kind of elasticity in the skin naturally. They increase bone density. They are also known as like bone like strengtheners and purifiers.
And they're just plants. It's no animal products.
No animal products.
Because a lot of people want collagen, but they're plant-based, vegan, and they can't. So this is a really great alternative that's probably better too.
I agree. And it's a lot more sustainable on a planetary level. So as we were saying, Mother Nature provides. There is everything in the plant world more than what we really realize. Mm-hmm. And these plants naturally will increase that capacity. They will increase our natural like metabolism to increase collagen production, which is what we need. We don't need animal-based production, you know, in order to increase our own production.
Right.
So it is one form of receiving it, but it's not it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right.
So there's even like, let's say spirulina and chlorella, classic superfoods are super trendy. They will increase your collagen production.
Yeah, I think a lot of us, we think that you have to have like the, you know, the collagen from cows, etc., because it's marketed to be the best one. But a lot of people say that our bodies are not even absorbing it because it's coming from another animal.
Yeah. And something that I think is like the dirty reality of most collagen companies is that it's just so, it's like leftovers from, you know, mass produced, you know, manufacturing of livestock and so. And that's just something that for me personally, energetically, I don't want to put in my body.
Right. And, and just, you know, what's happening right now with the Amazon, et cetera. Most of it is from cattle ranches and, you know, Burger King is one of the biggest culprits of that. So we do have to see the connection between literally the destruction of the rainforest and meat products.
Yeah, I think it's way more valuable. Like if you want to stick to a animal derived one because you really need it. Some people that are in a chronic state of deficiency can really, I understand, need that, and I completely even recommend it sometimes. But I feel like if you're not in a chronic state of deficiency, you don't need it.
Right.
So as a daily ritual in your latte, I don't know how successful that would be because it actually increases more fluoride production as well. Like it binds to fluoride in the body. So I think that can be a little scary. But anyways, not to bash on those that are drinking collagen every day, but I think if you can source it from a local farmer and make your own bone broth or whatever you want to do with it, you can even create your own powdered forms with a farmer. That's so much more efficient and better than mass-produced collagen from farms. Mm. But that's up to anybody, I guess.
So what are the herbs that you recommend for collagen production?
So my favorite is nettle root. Mm-hmm. And nettle leaf is a classic. You can find it basically anywhere in the world.
Like, and
you can
so good for like hormonal balance as well.
Exactly. Yeah. It's incredible. And it's highly mineralizing. It has a lot of protein naturally. So that's where a lot of it comes from. And it's also used for hair washes to strengthening your hair. And also increasing hair if you're like losing a lot of hair. Like let's say mothers with newborns. When I had my baby, I was like losing hair. Like if it was like, and you don't know what to drink because you're breastfeeding and whatever. So nettle is a classic great one to have like in high doses that it would be totally fine. And it's naturally a mineralizer. And it helps you produce more milk, which is awesome. Another one I love is calendula, also used all over the world by different indigenous peoples for your skin and also for hair strength and bone health. Heshuwu, classic adaptogen, you know, that we all know.
Great for hair, too.
Hair, I know. Yeah. There's so many stories on, like, people that were balding using it successfully to grow it back.
I bought it for Steven, my husband, because he has a lot of, like, grays, and he's young, and he just gets grays because he's so pits in, balanced, and stressed, but I think it's been sitting on his bedstand for a long time.
I know my husband is the same, actually.
Also, like, all of these, but I want to talk about, there's such a huge trend of nootropics as well right now. And I was just looking at some of the ingredients, for example, Qualia, and it's literally like your mind formula.
Yes, exactly.
Like this is the same thing.
Exactly. Which we actually changed the flavor because it was so intensely, like it was very herbal. And a lot of people are not used to herbs. They were like, oh, can I capsule it? And I was like, yeah, whatever. It's fine. Home capsuling is totally great. But yeah, those herbs, ginkgo, gotu kola, classic amazing ones. Bacopa, used in Ayurveda quite a lot. Or also known as Brahmi. Lion's mane, classic, amazing, which is more of a long-term nootropic. It's not like you won't feel it like instantaneously necessarily, but it builds upon itself and it helps your body mimic the chemical process in your own brain, which is fascinating. And yeah, there's many more. Rosemary is another classic one for clarity and cognition.
Wow. So that's all in the mind formula.
Yeah.
So how does one take these? Let's say they're like, okay, I really want to do it, but like, I don't know how to make this taste good. What do you recommend?
Yeah, I think citrus is always the best way. So especially for nootropics, citrus is great for clarity as well.
Okay.
So let's say you do, I don't know, even a lemonade. Let's say you infuse your herbs in hot water, regular hot water, and you let it cool off, and then you make a lemonade on the side, or just lemon and water, and you combine it. That's a super, let's say, for your morning warm lemon water, or even chilled or room temperature. It's an easy way to drink it.
Love that. Maybe a monk fruit sweetener.
Oh, yeah. Monk fruit. There you go. Yeah. I like it. Mm-hmm. I really like it. Or miracle fruit is so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you also have your Palo Santo mist, which I really love. And as we know, Palo Santo is a huge topic right now because, you know, of the sustainability around it and how can we use it in the right way. And then we were just discussing that, like Walmart is selling Palo Santo, but there are ways that you could have it, consume it in the right way if you feel called to.
Yeah.
So can you talk about that as someone who, you know, has really been in this industry?
Yeah. So we only source from a family that harvests it from already dead trees. Mm-hmm. So naturally, the Palo Santo, when it naturally dies, not induced death, will have branches fall off of it or the whole tree dies. And then those trees, I mean, those branches lay on the ground for like 3, 4, 5 or more years. Mm-hmm. And then they're harvested because of the resinous, like, leftover of the tree in itself. The tree's not really dead. It like continues to have that resin like maturing. Mm-hmm. And then when you basically chop that up into the little classic bundle that you see everywhere, that's what that amazing smell is. Mm-hmm. If you, this is the whole contradiction right now. If you chop that tree without, you know, the tree dying on its own voluntarily, it won't smell. It'll smell like any bark that's like, you know, that you're burning from basically any tree. But if you let it die on its own, it's going to be fine. So a lot of these families, like even these are huge, even governmentally funded projects where they preserve areas where it's native to. Mm-hmm. And they make sure indigenous people are employed to harvest it, which they've been doing it for centuries to make sure that tree is properly done. It's like a natural preservation thing of like Peru, Chile, Ecuador, Colombia, et cetera, you know.
So it's legal in these areas.
It is legal. It is. It is illegal to cut it down without the tree already being dead. Like if you get caught, you get into real trouble.
Got it. So how are people inducing the death of the trees?
Yeah. So there's a lot of parasitic injection type of things that a lot of people do to even other trees that are like, let's say, used for furniture and so on. They're like precious woods. They even do that to be able to harvest the tree, let's say, legally. Right. So they like even Costa Rica, this happens all the time with precious woods. They inject the trees and they spread the parasite. They do that with Palo Santo. And you can still tell that it doesn't smell as fragrant, even if they allow the process to happen of it laying on the ground, maturing, etc. So you can tell the difference. So the easiest way you can tell in how it smells. So if you have Palo Santo and you're worried about its, you know, if you really properly sourced it, is like if you burn, let's say, a yellower looking one over a whiter looking one, try to make a contrast between the two smells. How it smokes, when you turn it on, does it turn on easily, does it not? If it catches fire fast even, for example, it has a lot of resin. That means it's a good thing. That means it was properly harvested and cultivated.
Okay.
If it's like something you're turning on and it goes off all the time. And
I feel like the ones I've gotten never turn on. Probably because they were the fake Palo Santo.
I know. And it's very sad that it's very available. So yes, on that level, it's totally unsustainable. You just have to be sure you buy the right one. So try to know the story, you know, where it comes from. Like ours comes from northern Peru, but there's a million other farms actually all over Central America. They mean South America that are doing these preservation efforts.
Right.
Ecuador is also huge on its preservation, for example. So
Yeah, I think like a lot of people are just concerned because United Plant Savers issued that statement saying that we should not be using it at all.
Yeah.
And I understand where they're coming from because they're just trying to protect the plant.
Yes.
And then I also from, you know, posting about it and getting contacted by so many people, there are definitely people like your company and other companies that are doing it the right way. But I think like the larger conversation is like consumerism and like feeling like we need to buy all the spiritual things.
Yeah. I wonder if United Plant Savers made the mistake with another Palo Santo tree that is very over-harvested and it is endangered.
Right.
But it's used for furniture.
Yeah. No, they say that that one is like almost extinct. The one that's for furniture.
Exactly.
But the one that we burned, the habitat is at risk of endangerment.
Yeah.
So they've issued none, but they're just talking about the ones in the wild.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Not like in farms, designated farms.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge topic that, I mean, I did not fully know everything until I post about it. And then I really found out everything. And it's fascinating because these practices are just becoming so much more common.
Yeah.
And I think it's like from a beautiful place. People want to have rituals in their lives and they want to practice ancient traditions, and they don't come from Costa Rica or lineages that no one ever told them about this.
Exactly.
So they're just like trying the best that they can. And then when it backfires, it's almost like, well, I don't even know what to do. So I have a lot of compassion for people who bought things and then it ended up maybe not coming from the right place because everyone's just trying the best that they can.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And then something else is like choosing mindfully on the Palo Santo, let's say marketplace, can really fuel indigenous people's lives. And it's huge because like in Costa Rica as well, even though Palo Santo does like not even exist there anymore, the indigenous people are living barely on nothing. So if like, if you cut that income from them, they most likely won't have a lot of places to go to continue for work. So yes, I agree. Probably they're not getting paid well. And it's really sad. The whole reality of the indigenous movements in all parts of Latin America and the world is really sad. Like the minimum wage in Costa Rica right now is like $3 an hour, you know?
Wow.
So it is almost unlivable. Like they can barely buy rice and beans, which is the main staple of the country. But, and same in Peru in its own way. But anyways, if you cut that support from them, it's going to be almost even worse, you know? So it's kind of like, how can you choose mindfully? How can you just support it and use it only sparingly, not like Palo Santo everywhere and in Walmart and Costco. And, you know, like, well, how can it be more like regarded as a beautiful, you know, kind of like vanilla? How can it be used less, you know, not as a flavor agent in everything, you know, like how can everything be just more mindful?
Right. Yeah. So some people ask, they are very interested in studying herbalism. Where do you recommend resources, books?
Yeah, we have a list of schools that we love. It depends like if you're in East Coast or West Coast or where you want to go or how much time you really have. Some programs are like year long, 6 months long, 3 months long. So I'm happy to recommend those based on where they are, like a list. We have it on our site, actually, resources of books and schools that we love.
Perfect.
By the way.
And at your store, you guys are always doing events. Can you share some of the events that you're hosting?
We love the events. It's so fun. Like right now we have huge herbalism classes coming up, like energetics, formulation, even how to make food. I think food is so exciting. That how to integrate, let's say, your adaptogens into like soups and... Ooh. If you're baking something more like paleo style, how to include it and which ones are higher temperature versus lower temperature and all that kind of stuff.
That's so, like, I actually never even thought about adding ashwagandha to like my soup. I feel like I always think, oh, it will make it taste bad.
Yeah,
so
it
won't. It's like doing things and very, so are there any like adaptogens and or herbs you recommend for like food that are like, they actually taste good?
I think, I mean, ashwagandha, if you put a lot in it, it will definitely change it. But let's say if you're using miso, like you could do chickpea miso, there's adzuki bean miso. Or just if you like soybean miso, then go for it. So using miso as a base is great because it's fermented and it'll help you metabolize the plant even more, for example, like using kombucha with a tonic, for example. And using that as a base, using tons of spices that you love from like, you know, dill to basil to anything, even a little cayenne, black pepper, turmeric, ginger, all these possibilities. So it will disguise the flavor. So I think definitely soup with ashwagandha is one of my favorites to combine.
Love that.
You can also do a lot of the mushrooms and create like a mushroom broth. So reishi, shiitake, maitake, lion's mane, agaricus, turkey tail, whatever you have available. Cordyceps, I think is amazing in soup too.
Even adding like spirulina to food, like sometimes I'll add it on top of a salad and it's almost like nutritional yeast. It kind of tastes like cheese.
Right?
Yeah.
And with nutritional yeast, it's like delicious. Yeah.
And you guys have a really good liver blend.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like spirulina. What else is in there?
Chlorella, burdock, dandelion root, turmeric, graviola leaf, moringa. Yeah,
And I was like amazed because I always thought these you have to have like cold. So I feel like I would always like forget to have them. But you said I could even put in like a warm drink. So I've been making like this tea, this like green tea, but like actual greens, and it's really good.
Right? Yeah. I think it's delicious warm too. Like I usually add hot water and like homemade milk of sorts, like cashew milk or something, and it's delicious. Like for something different, you know?
Super good.
Yeah. That's great for also if you're traveling and you need your greens.
Yeah.
Just like sprinkle it on whatever and it'll be great.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're always needing more and more greens.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with dealing with the atmospherical stressor situation.
Yes. Amazing. And cacao. Can you just share a little bit about how you work with cacao, cacao ceremony? Because I know that's a big part of your what you teach and practice.
Yeah, I love cacao. I mean, I don't do ceremonies in the sense of teaching them, but I have participated in quite a lot, especially mm-hmm. in Guatemala. But I think raw cacao is incredible. And it's also an amazing base for pairing with most herbs, you know, so it's like one of the it's the highest antioxidant fruit on the planet. Mm. So a lot of people forget that. That's incredible. Even more than goji berries and like classics that you hear about all the time. So as a base for basically anything, let's say you're having your mushroom coffee or no coffee, do your cacao as your base for even, or nootropics. It's an excellent one for nootropics, for example, cacao as a base. The rawer, the better. So the thing about cacao, and a lot of people always ask about cocoa versus cacao. And cocoa, I think is, I would never purchase it. I think it's disgusting, honestly, because it's like processed at very high temperatures and it's like highly synthesized in a way. Like I don't really enjoy it because you lose a lot of the properties. And it's a...
And that's like most chocolates out there or cocoa.
Exactly. And even like, hot, let's say hot chocolate as a kid, even me in Costa Rica, I was drinking cocoa.
Ovaltine. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not, and it might taste like chocolate, but you can tell the difference. It's not so alive and it gives you a different energy and like kind of elevated vibe. So yeah, I do not recommend using cocoa if you want to have that like euphoric experience and nutritional benefit. So like we have an heirloom cacao that we love from this farm in Ecuador called Cacao Arriba. They actually got this Denominación de Origen certification. And it means basically that the air, water, and soil are in such pristine conditions that they give the certification of Denominación de Origen. What's amazing is that most companies that receive that certification are based in Europe and they're based on wine. So for example, if you go to Ribera del Duero in Spain, they do these wines that are like incredible. And it's all Denominación de Origen because the soil, water, and air is like of fantastic quality. So this is the first farm ever to receive that certification for their cacao, which I think is amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. So for example, using cacao like that is so important to your experience. So a lot of people have excellent cacao, like in Brooklyn, there's a few companies that also just serve it as the block, which is more traditional in Central America and South America. And that's the rawest it can get. So for ceremonies, you really need to do the raw brick form. If not, it's not exactly the same as the experience of meditation itself.
Yeah, I bought like raw blocks from Guatemala and different ones. I'm always like experimenting. And then if I'm like, I love it. I think it tastes really good and brings you in your heart. And everyone has such a different experience. You know, a friend of mine does a lot of cacao ceremonies. And, you know, sometimes the vibe is like more like solemn and sometimes it's like dancing and it's kind of like you can take it wherever you want. It will just enhance your mood.
And it's like a lucid awakened energy. It's not like you're strung out kind of thing.
When you have a lot of cacao, you could get pretty.
But I love it. I drink it when I go to parties. That's literally what I bring in my bag.
And now there's such, it's so cool. It's like the new paradigm of parties is like cacao and elixirs.
And Blue Lotus.
That's for the orgies. I don't know what parties you're going to, Adriana. But it's amazing that herbs, like, you know, from psycho-enhancing herbs to more mild ones, though at some level, all herbs are enhancing your mind, even if it's like basil, you know? And I think it's opening up the conversation that it's not like a drug or not a drug. It's like all of these plants have personalities and have benefits and have moods, and you can use them in different ways. So you don't feel like I'm either like living my boring life or have to do party drugs. It's like, maybe I'm going to have some cacao. And like, that's how I connect with people, or Blue Lotus or something else. And I think like in our culture, we don't have that, you know, we're from coffee to speed. And it's like, there's so many like different levels in between. And it's also like where emphasis is so like, think about coffee, think about MDMA, think about cocaine. It's like very pitta. It's very energizing. It's very focused on production. And even if you're at a party, it's like meet the most number of people, whatever that goal is. And I think like what these herbs are doing, it's bringing you back into the kapha and back into the rhythms of nature and your body. And again, like the heart.
I think that's huge, because a lot of people always ask us like, oh, I don't really feel anything. And it's been a week. And I'm like, allow your body the time it needs to take in order to get to that energetic sensitivity. You know, like not everything's going to be instant for everyone. Some people feel it within the half hour and some people feel it like 2 weeks, sometimes even a month, because your body is adapting to that chemistry in itself and creating its own response that it will allow your consciousness to metabolize it in its own time.
So
and
true.
It's perfect. Allow it to be, you know, don't rush it. It's fine.
And this is with everything. Our society is so gross. It's so in your face. It's so hard, fast, furious that like even, for example, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a tantra teacher, and she was saying how, you know, we love vibrators as a society. We're very honoring of the vibrator and celebrating of it. But like from her experience as a tantric sex practitioner, you can have orgasms in such different ways. And if you really tune into your like subtle body, like you actually don't even need to touch yourself. You don't even need to move, and you can give through your mind, can give yourself an orgasm. Mm-hmm. But we want the porn and the vibrator with the highest battery charge that'll like blast your clitoris off. And like, you know, like we need it to be so fucking in your face that we're not, then the touch of a person or like whatever, it doesn't turn us on anymore. Food, we need it to be hot and spicy and salty and sweet and all of these extremely gross tastes. And Ayurveda says, how can we have more subtle tastes? The more you eat subtle and even bland foods, actually the more sensitive to energy you become.
Like the umami flavors, for example, right?
Yeah. And that's why in an ashram, there's no garlic, there's no onion, there's nothing spicy. Like it's just simple food as it is. So you can start to notice, wow, there's a crispness to that lettuce that like we normally don't even think about lettuce. It's, it has no taste to us.
Exactly. It's funny how modern day consciousness does need that. You know, it's funny. I think the pharmaceutical industry has created a huge culturing around that.
Yeah. We're like, this doesn't feel like Adderall to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's because it's like literally chemically derived to make your brain feel like that.
Like the instantaneous effect about something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for us to literally feel it in our hyperconscious 3D mind versus just the subtlety of magic and medicine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think with all of these plants that you offer, people are going to be like, cacao, I don't feel heart open. I didn't feel this. It's not, don't expect the plant to do something for you. It's you. It's an aid. It has to come from you. I can't sit, have the mind thing and be like, okay, I haven't thought of any good ideas. This fucking sucks. You know, it's like, I have to be the one that's thinking. This is just going to like be that like usher who has like their hand on my back that's like walking with me, but I have to take the steps.
Exactly. And it's amazing. Like you're basically teaching your body on an anatomical level to how to experience on a cellular level, how to experience this on a way different way. So be prepared to experience in a way that you have not experienced. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it even allows that no expectation of like, you will experience something different and just allow that to be the process. It's not going to be what you think it was. And it's not going to be anything that you probably, your friends told you was going to be. You're going to be very different. Your constitution is very different. And that will be the result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like even with the Blue Lotus, the first couple of times I instantly would fall asleep. I'm like, this does not feel like an orgy to me. I'm going to be the one on the couch.
Oh my God.
But it was because I was tired and it just gave my body the opportunity to sleep. And also because I was sitting in a car. So it was a good time. You know, it's like when people watch movies, like I always fall asleep. It's not because of the movie. It's because I'm tired. And that was the only chance I had to like sit down and not do anything.
Exactly. Ashwagandha is a classic one too. I use it a lot more for me for relaxation and going to sleep. And some people use it to energize and go even work out, you know, to like really pump it up. And it will change differently every single time. Let's say on a Monday, ashwagandha will empower you. On a Friday, it might really relax you. Mm-hmm. So allowing that, you know, no expectation, even within that same week, you might experience the medicine very differently. Mm-hmm. Especially these plants that have that adaptogenic-like chemistry, you know?
Yeah, and we, you know, we get used to things. Like someone who drinks coffee might have 4 cups of coffee and not feel anything, and someone who doesn't might have a little bit and be like tweaking out.
Exactly.
So if we overdo something, it's no longer, you know, we're not going to get that same effect. So that's why it's important to like try things and like rotate and not like get stuck in your habit of like, this is all I do and like, that's it. Like, even different herbs, I feel like we have different soul contracts with them that they're like in our lives for a period of time and then like maybe they're not and then maybe they come back in.
Exactly. Totally.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Cool. So where can listeners connect with you, try your herbs, go to your store? And we also have a discount for them as well.
Yay. Yeah. So yeah, if you're in Brooklyn, please come visit us. We have awesome events all the time. We're even going to do like a lot more things in the holiday season and beyond. We have a bunch of cool teachers. Also, if you're an amazing teacher that wants to have a space in Brooklyn to come teach, we always love to hear more about new people. And so yeah, Anima Mundi Herbals is our website. And we have also a lot of stockists around the US and Europe. So definitely check it out to see if it's local near you, if you want to see it physically. And on Instagram is also Anima Mundi Herbal. So definitely follow us and look us up.
And guys, you can head over to her website. I'll have the link to on the show notes, animamundiherbals.com, and use coupon code Sahara for 20% off. I love everything, but definitely get the Lucid Dreaming Kit. I mean, just see what calls to you, but definitely just try different things, maybe things that are not what you're used to. Maybe you're always doing the thing for weight loss, you're doing the thing for mind. Maybe you try it something else, or maybe you try a different version of it. You'll be so amazed how beautiful these kits are, how many different, you know, products there are, and how synergistically you can work with these herbs together, and you will literally become like your friend's like go-to person, because they're all going to want to come over and drink your potion. So don't say I didn't warn you.
Exactly.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Bye.
Yes. So much good, juicy wisdom. I immediately after was like, okay, I need to start making my brews. So I really like the Lucid Dreaming Kit. I like the Brain Kit. I like the Pharmacy of Flowers she has, which are flower and gem essences. I mean, you really can't go wrong. So be sure to head over to animamundiherbals.com. Use coupon code Sahara for 20% off, and hit me up on Instagram. Let me know if you tried Lucid Dreaming. How was it? What was that experience like for you? This is a really cool topic, and I really want to get more into it, because I really do believe our dreams hold so many of the answers that we are seeking. So follow me on Instagram. I am Sahara Rose. Let me know how these herbs affect your life, and I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. If you loved this episode, I would love if you could leave me a review in the iTunes store. And as a free gift, I will share with you the first half of my unreleased book, Eat Right for Your Mind Body Type. Simply email a screenshot of your review over to sahara@eatfeelfresh.com. Again, Sahara, S-A-H-A-R-A, @eatfeelfresh.com. And I will send you over the first half of my unreleased book, Eat Right for Your Mind Body Type. Thank you, and namaste.